You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built. Tommy, we'll get to the top guys, but I gotta say, we haven't talked about it yet on the show. Tyler Benson, that was the most chances he had in the game last night. Man, I thought he was going to bury one. I thought the fourth line was pretty good last night.
Absolutely. Strutty, first of all, congratulations. 8 big days in a row, pal.
Thank you.
Well done. I thought you would leave Greg's high and dry today, and here you are. Good teammate.
I know it's insincere, but I'll still accept the compliment.
Well, that's for the bath thing. When I started the pregame show yesterday, I had a bunch of texts about me bathing. You weirdos, I love you. But Greg's, yes. The fourth line last night, really reassuring signs, and nice to see them get going. I know the level of competition probably isn't ideal when you look at the Arizona Coyotes, but you know that's a team that was playing pretty good rolling into last night's game. And we saw Colton Sevier miss a great opportunity when that line had some time in the offensive zone, and he snapped his stick into like five different pieces because he knew that was one of the great opportunities that he was going to get. And those guys don't get a ton of chances. But I really thought that last night, overall, four lines were playing overall well. And listen, I know one line basically racked up all the points. 100% acknowledge that. But it is good to see the fourth line, guys like Tyler Benson, Colton Sevier, and Kyle Turris tilt the ice, maybe get a little bit of confidence going, Greg's, into a tough game Saturday. So I thought that was overall a pretty good sign, and maybe, just maybe, we could see some fourth line production. It's been a few weeks. Like, I recall, what was it, Devin Shore had a goal one game, and before that, Kyle Turris had a goal assisted by Shore, and since then, it's pretty much been donuts.
When you look at that fourth line, and specifically Benson, what I'm seeing is a guy who's really transitioned from the skilled player he is to a bit of a friction player. And I love it. I'm here for it. And the guy who I think also is starting to really own his own ice is Bouchard. We saw him get into it with Kessel a little bit. For when he got, it was a trip after the whistle. There's no doubt about it. But I love that. Like, he's looking Kessel in the eye. And Kessel is, you know, he's got a big name. Everyone knows what Kessel is. Nothing to be scared of him. But he looked him right in the eye. And for me, that starts showing that he believes he belongs. Like, those are his peers rather than the guys he's just playing against.
Yeah, and I liked it too. A little bit of spark, a little bit of frustration from what do we call him? Papa Bouchard, Old Man Bouch, all those funny names that are being thrown around. And now, you know, there's a guy that's younger than him in the lineup. There's a guy that maybe might look to Evan Bouchard, who's not that much older, but a little bit, that's kind of paving the way on this Oilers defense. And maybe Bouchard feels a bit of responsibility to be like, hey, I'm not the fresh-faced kid here anymore. Now we've got another young guy in Philip Broberg, and maybe that makes him feel he needs to step up a little bit, assert himself. And he is a big guy. Like, he should be able to throw his weight around. It's not like he's weak or anything like that. It's just a matter of him engaging and realizing how big and strong he can be, and you can push around other guys. I thought it would have been awesome and entertaining to see him throw down with Phil Kessel. And listen, I know Kessel doesn't really get into it that much, but every now and then he'll mix it up. And I think that would have been absolutely fantastic to see, a good sign. I like that he got angry. Get pissed off. Sometimes when you play pissed off, it helps. It gives you a bit of an edge. And it's nice to see that reaction from Evan Bouchard. And then as for Tyler Benson, Strutty, people have said, and we've heard it, we've talked about it a bunch, like, hey, this is not a guy that's a third, fourth line type player. He needs to play with skill players. I think he just wants to play in the National Hockey League, and he made it pretty clear that he would do whatever he could to make sure he was in the National Hockey League. And if that means being more abrasive out there, so be it. And, you know, earn the trust of the coaching staff, get some confidence, and then maybe that leads to more playing time in higher skilled roles. Who knows? I think he just wants to earn that right, but he wants to be in the NHL first and foremost. He's getting that opportunity, and hopefully we see some progress. He is getting limited minutes, but I think that's good to see, though.
Tom Gazzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Theater, TSN 1260. So what would you do if you were Dave Tippett? Because he changes the lines all the time. Now you go into Vegas. They just got Pacioretty back. They've got Stone back. Now, they don't have Carlson, and Marchessault is out as well. So, you know, they're still not 100% healthy.
And really, they're still missing two of their top six forwards. So do you continue to roll Draisaitl, McDavid, and Cassian for another game against Vegas? Because you say, hey, we think, you know, Vegas, that line, and then keep your three lines? Or what would you do, what combination would you have in your top nine? I think we kind of know that the fourth line is going to be a rotation of I would play Benson tomorrow for sure, or Saturday. Yeah. But Benson and Sevier, I'd actually play both of them tomorrow. And then it's just a matter of whether it's Turris, whether it's Ryan, or whether it's Perlini, and away you go. But what would you do for your top three line combinations tomorrow, or Saturday?
Yes, yeah, Saturday, Greggs, I'd probably... My instinct says go with what you did last night. And despite the lack of production from lines 2, 3, and 4, I actually didn't mind line 2. I didn't mind line 3. I thought with Puljujarvi and Fogel between McLeod, or with McLeod in between them, like I like the makeup of that trio. McLeod looks like he's playing with a ton of confidence. And with those two guys, Puljujarvi and Fogel, there's two guys that can keep pace with him speed-wise. They can do the work down low, get gritty, create havoc in front of the net. I like the idea of that combination. The second line with Nugent Hopkins, Hyman, and Yamamoto, I didn't mind their game either. I thought that Hyman was the guy that was really driving that line last night, and I think it's a matter of time before he gets out of this little mini slump that he's on in terms of production. And I say that knowing, you know, we saw the 11 points last night from the top line. And if it doesn't work, say in the first 20 minutes tomorrow, or pardon me, Saturday, we know that the blender comes out, and we know Dave Tippett doesn't wait too long before he switches things up. If his feel for things isn't good, he will switch it up. So I think, you know, stick with what worked last night, and then if it doesn't work, you know, get those bingo balls out, because we've seen that happen a lot this season, and generally it works.
Talking with Tom Gazzola for the Gazzola Chronicles here on TSN 1260. This is the Jason Greger Show, and I'm Jason Strudwick. When you look at that third line with Puljujärvi, do you have any interest on maybe giving him what I'd call not a regular spot on that, but put him on there and tell him you're the feature player on that line?
Like Struds, I like, again, that combination. If you feel his confidence is lacking, you know, is that something a tactic coaches use? I think they do, right? And if they feel like he might need a little jolt, and they think that could be a way to spark him, yeah, sure, why not? And then at the same time, you know, you've got a centerman who's going and starting to feel it, and then a guy who on the left side in Fogel that I think all around has been pretty good this season. So yeah, if you need to breathe a little confidence in him to get out of this little mini slump as well. Him alongside Hyman both haven't scored in a bunch of games. Yeah, sure. Put that in his head that he needs to be the guy driving that line, and he needs to be the one, you know, creating and making things happen and getting a spark out there. And guys take ownership when you know, we've seen it, like when a coach tells a player, hey man, we need you, like you're important to this team, we need you in this role, here's why, and we know that guys these days like to have things explained to them, they ask a lot of questions, but when you get that little vote of confidence and a taste of responsibility and that sense of, okay, I'm being counted on now, sometimes that sharpens guys up and gets them going. So if that might be the key to unlocking and tapping into his offensive side again, sure, absolutely. I really think that line could potentially generate a lot. And if you just need to get Puljujärvi going because you think he's the motor on that line, say whatever you need to make the big man work.
Well, we'll see where it goes. See, I don't know if I really believe that Tippett's brought out the blender a whole bunch. I think, you know, he let the third line go for as long as they can. Then there were some injuries, right? You know, Devin Shore has been in and out due to injuries. Cassian got hurt. You had Derek Ryan move a few games. Like the top six, it's basically been kind of either you're going to go Draisaitl, McDavid, Puljujärvi, or you're going to go Nugent, Hopkins, Hyman, and Yamamoto. And that's kind of been what he's stuck with. Now, yesterday, for the first time, he swapped Cassian and Puljujärvi, Now, it worked, and it's not because I think Puljujärvi was being horrible by any stretch of the imagination, but he has missed some glorious chances for the last, you know, 7 or 8 games. Like, you look, Cassian now, in his last 8 games, has as many points 5-on-5 as Puljujärvi, Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto. And he's only played 1 game in the top six. So, you know, I do think there's a little bit of onus on some other top six guys, Yamamoto, Nugent Hopkins. You know, Puljujärvi recently, he played very well early on. And I still can like his game, but it's fair to say if you're going to play with McDavid and Draisaitl, production has to be part of the equation at some point. Like, you're playing with the league's two best guys. Like, at some point, there's got to be some production if you want guys to stay there.
Yeah, and these guys being shuffled around like this, again, and when some guys are going, you elevate them. Some guys are not going, all right, you try something else, you experiment a little bit. And the fact that they can do this now, and it leads to bits of success here and there for those guys, I think that does, again, reiterate that, you know, some people have said it on I'm sure your show, guys, as well as the pre and post game show, that, oh, this team doesn't have depth. What a pile of garbage you guys are spewing. No, it's not garbage. It's true. Like, you can move guys around and guys catch fire and for small bits of time, and then, yes, other guys go on little mini slumps and get cold. But when you move them around like that, you know which buttons to push, and it works, and it ends up, you know, leading to results and points. It does speak to depth, and this is something the team does truly possess. And let's see how it goes. I mean, you got to make the right moves at the right time, and overall, it's been happening.
Tommy, quickly, did you happen to see the end of the Detroit Lions game today? Did you
no.
see it?
What happened? I was just driving home. No.
Craziness? Dan Campbell, man. You know what? Ask Nilly next time you see him on your pod. Just ask him about the Lions. You want to see him lose his marbles? Just spring it on him. Spring it on him.
Okay.
It'll be fun. I do want to ask this, though. And the Minnesota Wild, they were playing in New Jersey, but they elected to stay in New York. Then they got caught in a traffic jam last night. They showed up at the rink literally 50 minutes before game time. So they're kind of just remembering, like, they're U9 again, they're U11, and you're getting to the rink that early. But, man, I found it quite funny. I'm like, geez, they must really hate New Jersey when you know that you're going to stay that far away in the risk of traffic. Because it's, you know, when you're riding a bus and you're in that city, there's always a chance, Tommy. There's always a chance, and they kind of got bitten by it last night, at least in the travel perspective.
Well, and Strutty knows how it all works. Whenever you get that swing through New York, Long Island, and Jersey, usually make Manhattan home base, and it usually works out fine, but the craziness of the traffic there is unreal. And so This does happen. And Struds, you know, downtown Newark is not a place where you want to stay.
No,
I think
not.
We stayed there for one afternoon. We got a day room there on one trip, but usually we stayed in Manhattan. It's a scary part. But Struddy, you had to deal with that traffic. I know you were you Garden City, right by Uniondale kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this all the teams do, because everyone wants to stay in New York. Like, staying in New Jersey or Long Island is just not, like, no disrespect to those places, but you're not doing it. You know, you want to be right in the middle of the action. So, and I've actually wondered, Greg, so you're not, I did think, like, what happens if we got caught in traffic? Now, I have been on teams where what we do is we play in, let's say we're playing in New Jersey, but stay in New York. We'd go into New Jersey, do a morning skate there or whatever, and then rent a hotel just for the afternoon, sleep there. And then eat, and then come back to our hotel at night just to avoid that traffic. Like, let's say if they knew there was something going on. But it is, I've never heard of a team being that late before for a game like that. In junior, we used to call it a dauber, dressed out of the bag. And because you get there late. And I remember in camps one time, we showed up in Tacoma to play a game. Literally, like 10 minutes before warm up, we just put our stuff on, did warm, and played the game. They don't care. They're not going to change it for junior kids. But in the NHL, it's a little different.
There was a time, boys, in Arizona when poor Patty Garland was sweating bullets because we had to stay in Scottsdale as per the coach at that time instead of right by the rink. Mm-hmm. And the traffic was so bad, it took 2.5 hours to get to the rink from Scottsdale. We got there 15 minutes before warm-up. And unlike that game between the Wild and the Devils where they pushed it back half an hour, Arizona was not doing the same for the Oilers, and the guys literally got there 15 minutes before warm-up started. They were scrambling. Poor Patty G. That was the most stressed out I've ever seen him. Those team services guys and girls, they hustle hard, and if anything goes awry, it's their ass that is on the line. Yikes, man. But, you know, I saw the comments from Lindy Ruff. He didn't like that they pushed back. It's just dems the rules, I guess.
Tommy, have yourself a wonderful Thursday. Enjoy the next two games of Thanksgiving Thursday in the NFL.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to all our American friends.